Madam Chairperson, first of all, I would like to explain the HKSAR government's position on the establishment of an independent human rights institution in response to Mr. Bukin's comments yesterday. Human rights are fully protected by law in Hong Kong, the Constitution of the People's Republic of China, and the basic law of the HKSAR provide constitutional guarantee for fundamental rights and freedoms. Hong Kong also has an existing institutional framework which helps promote and safeguards various rights, including the statutory organizations of the Equal Opportunities Commission, EOC in short, the Office of the Privacy Commissioner for Personal Data, and the Ombudsman, as well as legal aid services. The HKSAR government's performance in promoting and safeguarding human rights is open to public scrutiny through regular reports to the United Nations, and under the scrutiny of the Legislative Council, the media, and various non-governmental human rights organizations. The HKSAR government maintains the view that the existing mechanism has worked well and that there's no need to set up an additional human rights institution which would duplicate the functions and work of the existing mechanism. Regarding the EOC compliance with the Paris Principles, I would like to point out that the EOC is not a national institution that falls under the scope of the Paris Principles. The anti-discrimination ordinances only provide the EOC the power to investigate specific issues relating to discrimination and harassment. Nonetheless, the EOC largely follows the Paris Principles in terms of independence, autonomy, pluralism, powers of investigation, resources, and powers to take legal action. We also note members' remarks on racial discrimination on the part of the HKSAR government, including the law enforcement agencies. I would like to underline that under HKSAR's legal framework, public bodies have always been prohibited from practicing racial discrimination. The Hong Kong Bill of Rights Ordinance prohibits the HKSAR government and public authorities from engaging in practices that would entail any form of discrimination, including discrimination on the ground of race. On anti-discrimination front, the government reviews existing anti-discrimination ordinances to ensure that they meet changing social needs and will introduce legislative proposals to address social mischiefs as necessary in the light of local circumstances. For example, the Discrimination Legislation Miscellaneous Amendments Ordinance 2020 and the Sex Discrimination Amendment Ordinance 2021 were passed by the Legislative Council in June 2020 and March 2021, respectively, to enhance protection from discrimination and harassment under the four anti-discrimination ordinances, i.e. the Sex Discrimination Ordinance, Disability Discrimination Ordinance, Family Status Discrimination Ordinance, and Race Discrimination Ordinance. Among others, the Sex Discrimination Ordinance has been amended to strengthen legal protection for breastfeeding women, whereby discrimination and harassment on the ground of breastfeeding in various prescribed areas, such as employment, education, provision of goods, facilities or services, etc., are prohibited with effect from the 19th of June, 2021. In response to Ms. Sassin's comments on anti-discrimination legislation on the grounds of sexual orientation and gender identity, the Hong Kong society is divided as to whether legislation should be introduced to prohibit discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation and gender identity. On the one hand, there are views that the government should introduce legislation to safeguard equal opportunities for sexual minorities. On the other hand, there are views that the introduction of legislation will have impacts on traditional family values and freedom of religious belief. Given the complicated and controversial nature of this issue, we must handle it with caution. In response to members' question about the handling of transgender persons in custody, currently the Correctional Services Department arranges transgender persons in custody to serve their sentence in the transgender unit to protect them from harassment by other persons in custody and meet their special needs. Professionals there will provide them with proper health care and necessary treatments. Generally, persons in custody in the transgender unit are in normal association and can interact with other persons in custody. We would like to emphasize that the arrangements mentioned are different from separate confinement, which is a form of punishment for offenses against prison discipline. May I pass the mic to Mr. Raymond Ho?
Thank you, Cathy. Madam Chairperson, I would like to